of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible. Real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father saying, "Son, go get my children."
Very good evening to our listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. This is Eben. I'm in the studio with Brother Yawo Redu. And this program comes Saturdays from 8 to 10 p.m. We talk about end time related things and events happening. A lot is happening in our times, and we have to remind ourselves of the realities of the times we live in. We can feel so comfortable and think nothing is happening, but a lot is happening in our times indeed. And that's the essence of these reminders that we give ourselves on this program. But right from the beginning of the year, we've been alerting you that the times we are in are very, very crucial, and truth is gradually becoming scarce as the times go by. And the little that you have, you make good use of it and try and store as much as you can in your mind, and whichever way of storing.
Your internal memory. Your internal memory in your head and your heart.
Soon. Freedoms that Christians have may not be as we used to, and all that. And this program we've been saying all the time too, you won't have it all the time. So the little that you have, you make good use of it. Well, let me start with some of the news. Anyway, I'm Eben, and tonight Brother Mafu is not too well, so he's not joining us. But greetings to him. We have this headline that says that three volcano tectonic earthquakes rock Mount Pinatubo in the Philippines within 24 hours. Tectonic plates, the shaking of it is what causes the earthquakes. And says that three volcanic tectonic plates quakes were recorded at Zambales province within the last 24 hours. And we all know that Mount Pinatubo is the only active volcano in this province. So is it preparing its next big blast? That's the question the news report has. And then a 5.1 quake rattles North Carolina and felt in three other states, the largest quake since 1916. You know, these are the things Jesus said will happen, but not the only one, other things happening. But these are to remind us of it's a combination of things: earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilences. You know, all these things come together to form the messages or the warning of the times prior to the coming of Christ. So as you see a lot of these things coming together, and with increasing numbers of these events and activities and all, these are just to serve as a guide and a reminder. It's just like if you are driving or you are in the car, whatever, traveling somewhere. You know, as you go, you start seeing some landmarks. Then you know that you are getting closer to a particular place. If you are going to Accra, the more landmarks you see, I mean, towards Accra, you know that, I'm close. Or, I mean, if you start seeing the signboards and Accra written on it, things like Accra, Accra projects, Accra programs, and you know that, then you are getting close to the city. So that's the essence of these things that Jesus also gave us. That's the essence of these things that Jesus gave us. So that when we start seeing a combination of these things coming together, then, because just like you are going to Accra, you see on the left, you see this. On the right, you see that. On the left, you see, then you know that, we are. So that's exactly how Jesus put it. As we keep seeing these things, it should remind us that we are headed towards somewhere. Then China bubonic plague spreads, and we have Beijing ordered second lockdown in the village, second village, with a horror death, because panic has swept across China's Inner Mongolia province after a second bubonic plague lockdown was enforced 2 days after the first, as entire villages are sealed off. Sadly, a man died in the region city of Bayano from multiple organ failure after contracting the deadly disease. You know, they also call this disease the Black Death. That's under the Black Death, yeah, under name for the disease. Then, you know, wars, rumors of wars. You have China increases military drills as tensions with the U.S. intensifies. China is stepping up military drills around the East Asia as war of words with the U.S. heats up over Washington's military activities and visit of a U.S. cabinet secretary to Taiwan. One Chinese think tank even says the People's Liberation Army, that's the PLA, may consider live fire exercises near the U.S. island of Guam. And Guam happens to be one of the places where U.S. has the strategic nuclear bombers, the B-52 and some of those other ones. Then we have Israel strikes Hamas in Gaza following explosive balloon attacks. Things are heating up again between Israel and Hamas in the Middle East, as Israel has reportedly struck Hamas targets in the Gaza Strip overnight in response to the recent launch of explosive balloons from the Palestinian territory into Israel, according to a new report from the CBN News. And what they do is they would put explosives in balloons, and then a group of balloons tie it, then allow it to fly up, and then to fly over. That one, you can't stop it from coming over your border. Then when it comes to drop, then it explodes within. Oh, no. You hit me, I'll hit you twice. You hit me, I'll hit you again. That's what they do. Then we have Bible teacher claims. You said.
Mm-hmm. Is still in
Judaism. Oh, nothing like if you hit, I'll turn the other cheek. No.
No,
then we have Bible teacher claims the third temple prophecy is, quote, unintentionally, unquote, unfolding. So the third temple prophecy is unintentionally unfolding.
Unintentional.
He says, biblical prophecy states the construction of a third temple of Israel, third temple of that in Jerusalem, will precede the second coming of Christ Jesus and the end of the world as we know it. The scripture expert has The scripture expert has now said the prophecy might already be unintentionally unfolding. The Holy Temple of Jerusalem is at the heart of the Jewish faith in the Holy Land. To date, two temples have towered over the ancient city of the Temple Mount, only to be destroyed by invading forces. First temple was toppled in 586 BC by the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar during his conquest of Jerusalem. The second was then razed by the Romans in the year AD 70 following a Jewish revolt. What remains of the second temple is an outer wall, the so-called Western Wall or Kotel, near the Jerusalem's Temple Mount. And with access for prayer barred by the Temple Mount Alaska compound to non-Muslims, the Western Wall is considered the holiest places of prayer in the Jewish world. But an expert believes plans are now well underway for a third temple to be constructed, and with it comes the promise of biblical prophecy coming to fruition. Tom Mayer, a professor in Bible and theology at Shasta Bible College and Graduate School in California, USA, told express.co.uk, groups like the Temple Institute are unwittingly paving the way for the second coming of Christ. According to some interpretations of the Bible, the third temple will rise in the final days to welcome the arrival of the Messiah, who, according to the Jewish faith, is yet to make an appearance. Biblical prophecy also states the Antichrist will attempt to proclaim himself the true Messiah within the Holy Temple. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 2 to 4, our favorite verse, for instance, reads, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, and all that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Prophet Mayer said, "Plans are well underway in Jerusalem for the construction and perhaps the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. There is an increasing national desire by many religious and non-religious Jews to see the temple built in their lifetimes." A survey done by the Joint Forum of Temple Mount Organizations in 2013 found that 43% of religious Jews and 31% of secular Jews supported the immediate reconstruction of Judaism's most holy place. Quote, "The human vehicle to bring this biblical prophecy to fruition could come through not only changing the status quo to permit Jews to pray to Yahweh on the Temple Mount, which 60% of Jews support, but also through organizations like the Temple Institute," unquote. Professor Mayer believes a status quo over access to the Temple Mount could mirror that of the tomb of Abraham in Hebron in the West Bank. Known as the Cave of the Patriarchs or the Sanctuary of Abraham, the holy site is accessed for prayer by Muslims and Jews alike. Professor Mayer said, "The Temple Institute exists in part to bring about for the third temple. It has received some funding from the Israeli government and donations from Jewish billionaires to achieve their objective. The organization has already reconstructed all, underline, all the necessary ritual objects needed for an animal sacrificial system, like measuring cups, shovels, tongs, layers, etc., according to their ancient specifications. The Temple Institute has also not only begun educational programs to train young men who can prove their lineage through the line of Levi to function as priests in the future temple, but they have also recreated all the necessary garments for the priesthood, including the famous uniform of the high priest, his breastplate, and the golden crown. The furniture to be placed with inside the actual temple, like the table of the shewbread, the altar of incense, and the golden menorah, have already been completed. A golden menorah dedicated to the third temple is now on public display in Jerusalem, and Professor Mayer thinks it will one day find a new home on the Temple Mount. Blueprints have also been produced to set the stage if the construction of the third temple becomes a reality. Finally, Prof. Meyer said, biblically speaking, the construction of a third Jewish temple is a necessity because biblical prophecy states the Antichrist will first proclaim himself to be the true Messiah in the yet-to-be-built third Jewish temple before the true Messiah appears. Groups like this, like the Temple Institute, are perhaps unintentionally paving the way for the fulfillment of Bible prophecy in the second coming of Jesus Christ, the true Jewish Messiah. Interesting. Then we have the prophetic implications of the Israel-United Arab Emirates agreement. On Thursday, Prime Minister Netanyahu announced that with the help of President Trump, an agreement between the UAE and Israel. The deal was finalized via phone call between Trump, Prime Minister Netanyahu, and the Sheikh, that's Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, the Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi. In a joint statement by the US, Israel, and UAE, posted by Trump on Twitter, it said that this was a historic diplomatic breakthrough and will advance peace in the Middle East. Underline, peace. Please read First Thessalonians 5 for me.
Okay. Please, let's read First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And this is what the Word of God says. Let's start from verse 1. But of the times and of the seasons, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For wherein is it? For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape.
Okay, thank you. The statement said that in the coming weeks, Israeli and Emirati delegations will meet to sign bilateral agreement on security, tourism, direct flights, investment, telecommunications, technology, healthcare, reciprocal embassies, culture, energy, and the environment. Just a few hours after the agreement, Rabbi Tuli Josh Wanda, a video reporter for Breaking Israel News, and Adam Eliyahu Berkowitz, a feature article writer for Breaking Israel News, had a video conference analyzing the implications of the Abraham Accords. Wanda started off the discussion by noting that the agreement caught everyone off guard. Prime Minister was in the middle of a meeting discussing coronavirus with his cabinet, Wanda reported. In the middle of the meeting, he walked out and said to everyone that they would understand why in a few minutes. True to his word, just a few minutes later, a three-way joint announcement was made. Wanda noted that this was the first such peace agreement between Israel and an Arab neighbor since the 1994 agreement with Jordan. It's huge, Wanda opined. This agreement can open up future agreements with other Arab countries, which was actually mentioned. Rabbi Waits noted that Prime Minister Netanyahu was already being criticized by the leaders of Judea and Samaria for their move, which may endanger Jewish sovereignty in the regions. Nevertheless, as spiritual people, we have to first acknowledge that this is coming from God, Rabbi Waits noted. We have to pray that Hashem, that's in bracket God, literally that's the under name, Jewish name, dictates the way that this comes out, that this really does lead to security, that this is something that ultimately brings the Moshiach, that's Messiah, closer. We know that when the Moshiach comes, there will finally be peace in Israel. What can I say more? Wanda explained that the agreement included Israel not expressing sovereignty in Judea and Samaria as planned. We don't know if this is a temporary or permanent decision, Wanda noted. We do know that Netanyahu is being attacked by both right and from the Arab side. The right-wing Israeli settlers, guided by biblical statutes, believe that they cannot forfeit any land that God commanded the Jews to settle. Bonda also explained that the Palestinian leadership perceived the agreement as a slap in the face from the Trump administration, as well as from their Arab brethren in the UAE. Berkowitz noted that earlier this year, the UAE permitted Jews to perform circumcisions. This is actually a biblical commandment that unifies Isaac and Ishmael even to this day. Berkowitz noted, allowing that helped unify the two countries leading up to this agreement. Berkowitz noted the biblical verse describing the future role of Ishmael, and then read on, he shall be a wild ass of a man, his hand against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. He shall dwell alongside all of his kinsmen. Genesis 16, verse 12, and goes on and on. You know, when you hear some words, some key words like agreement, the peace, Israel regarding peace with their neighbors, peace with their neighbors, it should ring a bell, especially the times we are in. I mean, this is not the first time you are hearing of peace things, but this is not the final one as well. But this is the beginning towards the ending of the main peace agreements that they will be having with their neighbors in the Arab world. So this is a major one and a major step. Four Iranian converts face years in prison for participation in house church. Four Iranian converts to Christianity were sentenced earlier this month to several years in prison after they were arrested in February on accusations they acted against national security by participating in house church meetings and evangelizing. According to Article 18, a London-based nonprofit that promotes religious freedom and tolerance for Christians in Iran, the four accused received sentences between 2 and 5 years for spreading Zionist Christianity.
Which kind of Christianity?
Islamic Christianity? I don't know. Ramin Hassanpour was sentenced to 5 years, whilst Hadi Rahimi was sentenced to 4 years in prison. Sakin and then Said both received 2 year sentences. The four were charged in May after being charged with crimes that they spent about a week in Ras Lakhan prison after they were unable to pay the fine of $30,000 bail. Bail was eventually lowered and they were released. Human rights groups, including Christian Solidarity Worldwide, have called on the theocratic Iranian government or regime to release the four believers. Authorities in the Islamic Republic of Iran have engaged in a systemic pattern of arresting and imprisoning Christian converts accused of participating in house church movements as well as other religious minorities. Then, hardline Hindu neighbors attack pastor and guests at his home in India. That's one of the headlines. And then we also have this one. Pakistani Christian man charged with deadly blasphemy sentence over Facebook post. Facebook. Suhail Masih, a Pakistani Christian, is facing blasphemy charges after making a controversial remark on Facebook about eating sacrificial meat on Muslim holiday, according to the Christian Post. The comments on the social media platform claim that, quote, it's not possible that the blood of goats and bulls can wash away sins, unquote. Na same way as him. He further explained his belief that the incident of Miraj, an Islamic belief that Muhammad ascended to heaven to talk with the prophets, is a lie. Masih was arrested on August 5th in the Noshiwa Vekan in Punjab province after a mosque leader reported him. According to the Union of Catholic Asian News, the police didn't plan on pressing any charges until a large mob of angry Muslims surrounded the police station.
This is what usually
Yeah, to mount pressure. Yeah.
They begin to mount pressure, then the
authorities, they back down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened. And serious.
So. You should be ready. It's coming.
It's coming here too.
Yes, it's
China. Chinese Communist Party forces churches to donate to state COVID-19 relief funds or stay closed. Come and pay bribe before you go and do your church. That's the implication. Members of the religious communities in China are being called on by officials to donate to coronavirus relief funds or else they cannot reopen following lockdowns over the coronavirus. According to the report by Bitter Winter, a three-self church director from Hezi, a prefecture-level city in the eastern province of Shandong, explained that state-run churches were urged to collect money for areas affected by COVID-19. Additionally, officials from the local religious affairs bureau threatened numerous church closures if its members failed to donate. Hey, donations also by force.
State churches.
Those are the ones who sing the patriotic songs.
Patriotic songs.
But even them now, they are clamping down on them seriously this year.
Oh, because you know, once the devil will never give you something.
A free run, yeah. You know, the video I shared with you, the link, the Chinese movie on persecution. Uh-huh. You know, people can, it's on YouTube. It's called Branded, B-R-A-N-D-E-D, Branded. And I watched it this afternoon, and when I watch that movies from the China, the Chinese churches, it makes you realize that, I've been saying it all the time, that Christianity in the West, including us, we, the West type of Christianity, we are joking. We are joking, seriously, because the way the Chinese Christians are groomed and trained, I mean, so the persecution, they face it without, they go through, yes, but they keep, I mean, the movie, for instance, the one I shared with you, the girl eventually growing, she will pray, God should give him the strength to be able to go through. You see, and you look at it that, because of the training that a person has in his Christian life, the difficulty comes and, like, they are ready for it. The difficult times come and they're able to persevere. And see, this is the reason why, unfortunately, we are not talking about these things. So when you talk about it, it's as if we are strange and it's like you are following a certain type of... and you are the ones who want suffering. Not that we want suffering or we crave for it. But the Bible, these are the same things in the Bible. They also read the same Bibles we are reading. But they also have extra writings that motivate them. So they have writings that are about persecution, how to endure and giving them hope, comparing themselves to like Job, who was persecuted despite having... And this is so, you read these things and you realize we have a long way to go.
But the strong books are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
10 keys to prosper.
Ten windows, 10 doors, 10 ladders, 10 this, 10 that. God help us. Okay. Then the last news item, I believe, no, last but one, yeah. Hallmark Channel, the movie channel. A few weeks ago, I talked about the fact that they said they were going the LGBT way. They were opening up. Now they've started. Hallmark Channel proudly presents new film featuring lesbian wedding. This comes as a new report from CBN News states that the network has announced that on August 15th, they will premiere the film Wedding Every Weekend, which reportedly features a same-sex couple tying the knots. And this is the beginning of the slippery slope of this channel. They used to show good old movies, cowboy films. No, films which were harmless, quote-unquote, like normal, old, good movies. But now, it was a family channel. Children could watch it freely without closing their eyes or having to close their eyes. But now, if these things coming up, for those who have it on your decoders, beware, you have been warned. Then, this last one. The headline says, falling away. Christians in the U.S. increasingly departing from core truths of Christian worldview. I believe it's not only U.S. Though the survey was done in the U.S., the content and the concepts involved, it applies to Christians elsewhere, because we are seeing similar traits in Ghana as well. A new survey shows that the majority of Americans no longer believe that Jesus is the path to salvation, and instead believe that being a good person is sufficient. As part of the ongoing release of the Arizona Christian University-based Cultural Research Center's American Worldview Inventory, the latest findings, Exploring Perceptions of Sin and Salvation, from George Banner, the group's director, show that nearly two-thirds of Americans believe that having some kind of faith is more important than the particular faith in which someone aligns. 68% who embrace that notion identify as Christians, including 56% of self-described evangelicals and 62% of those who identify as Pentecostals. 67% of mainline Pentecostals and 77% of Catholics also embrace that idea, the findings show. Slightly over half of Christian respondents said they believe someone can attain salvation by, quote, being or doing good, unquote. A figure that includes 46% of Pentecostals, 44% of mainline Protestants, 41% of evangelicals, and 70% of Catholics. In addition to the viewpoints that eternal salvation can be earned, survey results show that 58% of Americans believe that no absolute moral truth exists, and that the basis of truth are factors or sources other than God. 77% said that right and wrong is determined by factors other than the Bible. 59% said that the Bible is not God's authoritative and true word. And 69% said people are basically good. If you look at some of the dominant elements in the American mind and heart today, as illuminated by the inventory, most people believe that the purpose of life, is feeling good about yourself, Banner said in a statement sent to the Christian Post. Says most people contend that all faiths are of equal value, that entry into God's eternal presence is determined by one's personal means of choice, and that there are no absolutes to guide or grow us morally. You know, this week I saw a video on YouTube of a Ghanaian, someone I know him, and the way he was insulting Christians and bashing God. God doesn't, I mean, the miracles we read in the Bible, who has seen them? And seriously, I was very shocked when I saw it. Very, very shocked. But you see, sometimes, I mean, I was telling myself after I saw this video that some people, the worst decision that they ever made was to travel to America. Because had he been in Ghana, at least he would have managed his Christianity little by little, small, at least. But the so-called enlightenment that he got in America, being exposed to advancement of whatever they will call it, has rather made him an atheist. So there are some people, traveling is not good for them, because seriously, if you travel and your travel it will speed up your passage to hell, then if you be at a village, the remotest village in Ghana, you are better off to be under a church that is under a tree or palm tree covering. You are better off, because what is the use? Jesus says, summarizes it well. You gain the whole world and lose your soul. You see, so this is where advancements. You see, so he's doing well. I know he's doing well financially, and also as money is coming, and
doing well then, cash-wise.
Yeah, that's right. I know. Yes, I know. But my point is, you see, these are the things that deceive people. Is he thinking that because now they are okay in life and life is good, and so that means that they don't need God again? So we who need God, we are the poor one. We have nothing to think about, so we can think of God.
You may need God. Corona came with their money. Your whole own president went hiding in a room. A whole commander-in-chief, Ghana forces, and you just going to stay outside one, two, come in. You're a fool.
All right, the program is issued.
I was talking to somebody. Remember what you said is true. Some people travel and it becomes a curse for them.
Oh yeah.
It would have been better they stayed in a very far village be even the most, how do we call it? The
poorest of the poor.
The worst of farmers. You have been the worst of farmers. But yes, too.
They travel outside, they come and they are misbehaving left, right, center. May Jesus have mercy upon them.
All right. Issues of Life is the program. This is Eben. I'll be back after this song.
Always been this way.
Well, even from the beginning, men hated Jesus. Even though he did nothing but love them and teach them and heal them, they nailed him to a cross. They thought they had killed him, but they only set him free to live in the hearts of people like you and me who believe in him. Then came the apostles, and most of them were killed for telling other people about Jesus. But by that time, it was too late. There were hundreds of people who believed in Jesus. So they tortured them and killed them, and they even left their bodies to rot as an example to other people. But the church kept right on growing, watered by the blood of these precious saints.
But Dad, did they want to die?
No. They didn't want to die. I mean, many of them had children just like you that they had to leave behind. But they were forced to make a choice. I mean, they could choose to live this one life here on earth and reject Jesus and be damned. Or they could choose to believe in the words of Jesus and live forever.
I think I understand.
Here, maybe this will help you understand.
I have heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne, and they were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one they chose to die. The Son of God, they would not deny the great angel. I can almost hear their voices ring.
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Now the years have gone, and the years have gone, but the cause of Jesus still goes on. And now our time has come to count. To reject this world, to embrace a cross, and one by one, let us live our life for the one who died to give us life. Till the trumpet sounds on the final day, let us proudly stand.
I pledge
I will seek to honor His calling. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
You've got to remember that it wasn't always this way. I mean, my dad could even pray in school. Of course, they took that away from him, and then it became incorrect for us to believe in the Bible. And after that, they just stripped our right to worship away from us, and we quietly stood by. But son, I hope that you're never put in a position that you have to choose between your faith and your life. But if you are, I know which choice you're going to make, because I know that Jesus lives inside of you. In the meantime, just pray like I taught you how to. And take care of your mom. And remember that God is the Father of the fatherless.
Spirit 88.3 FM, the program is Issues of Life. This is A. Ben. I saw this interesting quote today on a friend's wall, and it's by Leonard Ravenhill. It says, quote, "I fully expect at the judgment most of our preachers will be charged with criminal negligence. It's not what they are saying they are going to have to account for. It's what they withhold." Let me repeat. "I fully expect at the judgment, most of our preachers will be charged with criminal negligence. It's not what they are saying they are going to have to account for. It's what they withhold." And Ezekiel 33 comes to mind, where, if you can quickly read for me,
Ezekiel chapter 33, but if you let me read Ezekiel 3 first.
It's also a 3, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ezekiel chapter 30. Ezekiel 3. Let's read from verse 17. Ezekiel 3 from verse 17. And I read, it said, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning for me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked ways, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turned not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked ways. He shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thyself. Again, when a righteous man doeth turned from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thy hand.
You know, okay, I think it serves the same purpose. The 33 is also the same. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, for blood to be required from your hands...
Where can you get it from?
It's, you know, it's just like murder. The government, I mean, the states versus you, a murderer or a manslaughter.
In a murder case.
And somebody's blood is being required from your hands by the states. It's even the states, which is a human institution, as it were. It's a serious charge. I remember once, some years back, I met someone who had committed manslaughter, and he was almost going mad at the police station, because it's like the charge, his mind, he just couldn't comprehend that he has killed someone. You see, and this is to be held accountable by the laws of the land, human beings. How much more when God is holding you accountable for the blood of people because they went to hell eternally. And the reason why I read this is the fact that truth should always be said, as it were. Especially the times we are in now, we have to share the warnings, the cautions, and all that. Because today we'll play a foul and then we'll read a few other messages alongside it. But these are the times we need to hear these things. Withholding the truth means God will hold us accountable for not saying it. And I've been saying it, but by the grace of God, no listener of this program all these years can say that we didn't share the things we should have shared. Because when we get it, as led by the Spirit of God, we share it. Because we are in very serious times at the moment. Unfortunately, the church seems to be in a holiday mood, as if normal activity. As if there's nothing on the horizon. Life is going on, things are normalizing. I mean, Ghana's numbers are coming down, whether it's genuine or whatever. But it's like, oh, so soon life will be normal, back to normal, everything will be okay.
Stop sleeping.
But behind the scenes, all is not going well at all. So it's time we review ourselves as Christians, our stance and position. And for pastors and leaders who are listening to this, it's time you tell the people the times we are in, the proper times we are in. It doesn't matter you've been warning and saying things for a long time and nothing has happened. Eventually, Noah indeed would have looked, quote-unquote, stupid in the eyes of the masses.
Idiotic.
I mean, preaching for over 100 years on the same thing, and no one sees anything. It's like, this man. Can you imagine now, fast forward to our time, radio stations, camera, TV stations, live broadcast, streaming, podcast, this old man, and his three boys, come concern, gossiping. Then you can imagine the pressure that would have been on them, because you are saying a thing and nothing is happening. And so you can easily quit and say, this thing, God, is it really true? But see, as the time progresses, eventually, truth will always stand the test of time. People may ridicule, people may laugh, people may think you are not saying the right things, but eventually, when the things begin to unfold, people would remember that indeed we heard A, B, C, D, and this is what we have to do. That's the essence of these warnings. It may look like you are a prophet of doom. I mean, everybody is saying God will bless you, God will prosper you. And then you will come and say that God is saying something opposite that. So it's like, of all the good things in the Bible, you will not find the good things and you just come and just the warnings of God. But it gets to a point, that is what has to be said. And for those who hear, they hear it. And there's this file I will be playing. I watched it excerpt of it some months ago, and this regards this RFID chip, which is one of the brains, the scientists behind the invention of it, decades ago in the 70s and all that. And he is now a Christian. So from his perspective about the technology, he is cautioning believers not to ever accept this thing. The truth is, this thing is just around the corner. We are getting closer, much closer than people think.
Should be replacing the masks.
But people think it's, these things are fictional, these things are just conspiracy theories that people are pushing and all that. You know, I watched one video where a scientist was meeting, I think it was recorded secretly, and it was like in a mini conference room, like a theater, like a lecture hall type of, the seats slope
in
downwards.
In this video, you were hearing.
And he was explaining a research where they can use technology to manipulate people's religious thinking, influence people, and subdue their religious thinking. They are coming from the angle of like this Islamic terrorists, so that's when these chemicals are whatever into them and all that, it will influence their radical thoughts and all. Same can apply to Christians, where you'll be seen as a radical, because that's how Christians will be seen as radicals, those who eventually resist the system. So you see, behind the scenes, they are doing a lot. They are doing a lot, and things will be unfolding gradually. That's why we are giving some of these warnings, because by the time a lot of these things start unfolding, we can't be on radio to say these things. Oh yeah, because Christian stations will be off, Christian programs will be off, because the system will be in charge, as it were. See, so clearly there's no way. So these are the time to hear some of these things and keep it, because at the time when some of these things unfold in reality, you will not have a station or a program like Issues that will be warning you on air, because no radio station will have that permit to be saying that.
But behind them is some small village.
Oh yeah, so see, these are the times to hear these hard truths, and let's keep it to ourselves. All right, yeah, let's play it.
In this video, you will hear a first-hand testimony of pastor and doctor Carl Sanders, an electronic engineer, inventor, and author who led a team of researchers in the development of the RFID chip. He was shown by the Lord Jesus Christ that this is the mark of the beast, in which the book of Revelation, chapters 13 and 14, gives us much insight on. Seho Song has taken a sermon in which Pastor Sanders used an interpreter and cut out all of the translator's words for those of you who are English speaking. The original video link is located in the description box for those of you who want to hear the entire video. Let Pastor Sanders' own words about the time period that we are living in speak for themselves. We are living in the last days, and we must be as wise as the serpent and harmless as doves. Friends, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Instead, fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Greater is Jesus Christ living in us than the serpent who is in the world.
What I'm here to share with you is a testimony of where I lived, the people I spent my time with. I was an engineer for 32 years, and that's not important. But what is important is what I have to share with you. Many people have asked me, isn't there some way around this device, this microchip? Could a glove be made with a microchip in it so I could still get food? We have the greatest answer, and that is Jesus Christ. In 1966, I was put on a project. I had been with IBM, and now I was with General Electric. The project was to develop a little microcircuit that would connect the nerve ends on a broken spine back together. This seemed like a good idea to me, and it's something that I would want to be a part of.
I was a very zealous engineer. I worked very hard. I worked many long hours. I was a design engineer and used Boolean algebra, Boolean equations to design computer circuits. We were not successful with the young lady with the broken, with the severed spine. And as time went along, it looked like they were going to close our project down. We had learned many things, but she was not doing well. Much of our research data had been publicized, and some men came to us that we were to find out were from the government. They were from the CIA and the FBI. And they asked us to develop a little microchip for identification. This was to be used not in human beings, not in animals, but to be put in drug shipments to catch drug dealers. They came with a lot of money, and so we were willing to do whatever we could. I want to tell you at this point that I was not a Christian, and I did not want anything to do with Christians. We had developed the first identification device, and it was completed in the early 70s. They came back to us and they said, we want something better than that. And so we said, if you have enough money, we can develop anything. I was not alone there. There were 100 people involved in the project. Some were from General Electric, some from Motorola, some were from the Bell Laboratory, some were from the Boston Medical Center, and some were from Stanford University. My responsibility was project leader or the senior project engineer. We began to work on the design of a microchip that, when it was completed, was 0.75 millimeters in diameter, 7 millimeters long. It was the size of 1/4 of a grain of rice. Again, I want to say that I was not a Christian and there were no Christians there. They said they wanted this to have a power source and be able to emit a signal. And they told us they wanted us to use lithium as a battery source. Lithium's used in watch batteries, it's used in heart pacemaker batteries, it's used in a lot of places. I designed into this microchip a little charging circuit that would charge that battery. This sounds like a lot of technical things coming together, but if you'll bear with me 1 minute, you'll see what God has laid out about this microchip. When we discovered that we needed to be able to charge that battery, I needed a temperature change, a change in temperature, to cause current to flow through that little charging circuit that would charge the battery. So we began to investigate and find out where in the body does the temperature change the most rapidly. We spent over $1 million in taxpayer money, and when the results came back, there was a lot of information. We divided it up amongst three teams and then came back together with that information. It was determined that there were two places in the body that were ideal for the microchip. One was just below the hairline on the forehead. Every mother checks their child's temperature right here. So we could have paid the mothers $1 million and saved a... I never saw a mother check their child's temperature on their ankle. Always right here. The other place was the hand, the right hand preferred, because most people are right-handed. This didn't bother me, and it didn't bother anybody else on the team. The hand seemed a good place. Nobody wanted it here. And so the design work, everything was completed, the microchip was done. You're seeing it now on some of the Discovery Channel presentations. There are people who have received it already. It is real. It's not something that's coming way down the road. They gave me a Bible. They told me not to read the book of Revelation. They said the book of Revelation is too hard to understand. So I waited, and I didn't read the book of Revelation for quite some time. Then one day I came to Revelation 13, verse 16. And he caused us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. I didn't like what I saw. I went back and looked up the word mark. I went to the Strong's Concordance. And I found that John had used three words for the word mark. Charagma, charicature, and charax. That was from the Greek. I looked at those words. They talked about a scratch or an etching. They talked about a lot of things. And I said, God, this isn't it. We didn't do it. He said, go to the word for 666. The word is chixastigma. In the Greek, it says to go to 4742 as a cross. The last half of the word chixastigma. And when I looked at what it said, it says stizo, i.e. to stick, to prick, a mark incised or punched into for recognition of ownership. I thought about the little injection tool. The end of it is called an incisor. I began to weep and I began to cry and I said, oh God, what have we done? I couldn't believe that this lined up with what we had developed. And I began to run from God. I didn't run away from the church, I ran into the church. I tried to do as many things as I could to atone for this. But I want to tell you something, as God is my witness here tonight, this got in the way. Money got in the way. I had beautiful homes overlooking the lake. I had all the things that I wanted. And I ran because of the money. My ability to go and get $250,000 in research money took me away from telling the message. I ran for many years. What I want to tell you is that this is real. The microchip implant is real. Credit cards are failing. They can be counterfeited. The new smart card can be counterfeited. They can be stolen, they can be lost. All kinds of things can happen to a card. But you cannot lose your hand. Very quickly, they're going to move to this being in the hand. And I tell you as a Christian, you cannot take this. No matter what anybody says, God's word says you cannot take it. No matter what they try to talk you into, God's word says don't take it. In Revelation 14, verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. It's very simple. God's word says do not take it. Today there have been over 15,000 babies that have been given the positive identification, the microchip. Many companies are using the microchip as identification in their top-level employees. The Immigration Naturalization Service has a better passport, the human hand. So many of these things are all around us. We talk about the signs of the New World Order. God has spelled out in His Word just exactly what's going on today in the New World Order. Satan desires to have a one world government. From the time he fell, he said, I want a one world government. He wants to replace God. And so we see a government put together by men, a one world government. The signs of the times are all around us. We look at the fullness of time in the Bible. In Galatians, it talks about it was the fullness of time when Jesus Christ came. It is now the fullness of time again as we see his soon return.
I'm excited about his return. I believe he is coming soon. And I'm excited about his coming. And I praise God for him. And so I tell you, this generation shall not pass away, my Bible says. How close are we? That's rapture practice. You need to be ready to go. He's coming soon. I praise God for you. Last night, I talked about my involvement in the development of a little microchip implant. And many people have already taken that microchip implant. The news media has talked about it being a good thing. And they will tell you that it's a good thing to have this. Your children won't ever get lost again. They won't be able to give you the wrong medication. They won't be able to, you won't be able to lose this thing. And so the plan is underway that you will receive it. I would be remiss if I came to you and didn't tell you that God's word says, don't you take it. No matter how nice they make it sound. Tonight in the science of technology, I'm going to be showing you some things. I want you to understand that there is a conditioning that is done in people. The television, I call it a Babylonian idiot box. On the television, you are being conditioned to accept certain things. There is one good thing on television. It is the off knob.
Yes.
Amen. Spend as much time in God's word as you do watching the Babylonian idiot box. And God will speak to you through his word. And so you are being very easily conditioned. I've been in 17 One World meetings. I was in Luxembourg with Henry Kissinger, George Shultz, and Bob Gates in a meeting. It was discussed there about the microchip. I was asked many questions. And I answered those questions. I've also asked God to forgive me for being in those meetings. They said, we'll make them aware of lost children. And so, after that meeting, on paper bags and milk cartons all over the United States, there were pictures of lost children. And then one day, all of those pictures disappeared. They aren't on the paper bags and milk cartons anymore. Because you had been conditioned. And now when you look at a paper bag or a milk carton, you think about lost children. We think like we are told to think. That's the reason why you have to have your mind renewed in Jesus Christ. This has to be in here. He has to be, give you the new mind. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. That's the reason why he said it. Today's technology is the key to the long-standing mysteries of Bible prophecy concerning the last days. It reaches out to us. This technology that we have today is addressed to this generation. What it's telling us is that the time is short. I want to show you the microchip. This is called a Destron IDI chip. This is about the size of a grain of rice. It has a little receiving antenna and a transmitting antenna. It has a microchip in the glass envelope. So this gives you a little look. We'll look at some more a little bit later. One of the things that we see, fiber optics. You see the orange bundles being put all around under the ground in most of the areas that we live in. The fiber optics allow fast transmissions of from our phone lines, but also it will open up our homes to the two-way communication for video communication, being able to see one another when we speak. Every time that you talk on the telephone, they are monitoring your phone conversation. Microchips are used to keep track of animals on military bases. Microchips also can, they talk about why carry
cards when an implant will do the trick. This was in Computing Magazine. You can lose a credit card, it can be stolen, but you cannot lose your hand. And so the advantages to a microchip in the hand are very good for the world. So we see there is a conditioning, a telling people that it is proper to have something on your hand. This was in one of the magazines, revealed a secret plan to tag every man, woman, and child. I'm not happy over what is happening, but I praise God that I can tell you and the next group and the next group, because time is running out. Everybody's trying to figure out 666. Who is it? He says what it is. I believe that there will be an Antichrist. As sure as there is a Christ, there is an Antichrist, and he will want to implement this system. People ask me if 666 is in the microchip. When it was my responsibility to design this microchip, I had been working on a computer that was 18 bits. The word was 18 bits in length. When I designed this, I used much of the same Boolean equations. And so this microchip came out to be an 18-bit chip. There are 3 6-bit bytes. This whole microchip is 666. As I told you before, I was not a Christian. I could have cared less. This happened simply because that was what we were designing. I believe God knew when John was on the island of Patmos that it would be. He knew that it would be 18 bits. People say, how will this be used? The Immigration and Naturalization Service is already offering a better passport, the human hand. You have the microchip in a card, and you put your hand in and put the card in, and it reads your hand, and it knows that that is you. However, if you do not want to use the card, you can have an option of having the chip in the hand. We see that 20,000 people chose the microchip in the hand. It's not going to be hard to get people to take it. They're going to think it's a good thing. God's word says don't take it. I want you to turn with me to Revelation for a moment. In my efforts to try to stop the microchip from being, to stop it from being manufactured, I knew that research had not been done on the effects of lithium in the body. So I called a doctor at the Boston Medical Center who had been on the project. I said, what would happen if the microchip gets shattered or broken and the lithium is in the body? He said, you would get a sore. He said, you would get a sore like a boil. I said, what kind of sore like a boil? And I was writing all the time. He said, you'd get a grievous sore. It would not heal. I was looking at Revelation 16:2 a short time after that. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. This is a single sore. Will God cause the microchip to be shattered in all those people that receive it? I don't know. I just think it's very unusual that there would be a sore that would be one sore, not many sores. God has very carefully told us in his word not to take a mark in the forehead or in the hand. It was very easy to get babies to put this microchip in. All they did was run an ad in the paper, and they said $25 will be paid for every child birth through 1 year old that you bring for a government experiment. Women lined up in the rain with their babies to get the microchip.
And so the message I give you tonight and the message that we share is that this is real. Stand in God's word and don't take it. I met with a man from the CIA in Manassas, Virginia, and he warned me about some of the things that I was saying. But he also told me, you can't stop this thing. And I told him, I'm not trying to stop it. I'm trying to warn God's people. And so our reason for being here is not to cause you to form a group to go against the government. Our reason for being here is to inform you so you will be stronger in Jesus Christ. I believe if God's people will pray, that the best of the design that we have done can fall apart. And we can have one more day, one more week, one more month to tell people about Jesus Christ. This is a diagram of the microchip, the BT95-2000. It's the size of 1/4 of a grain of rice. So folks, the microchip is in the cards. It's being put in people. It's all over the place. It will allow us to go to a cashless society. Revelation 13:7 and Daniel 7:23 talk about a new world order. President Bush said Iraq is the first test for the new world order. Clinton and Gore have both said, they've stated that the solution to the problems of the world is a new world order, a one world government. And so we've come a long ways with many, many prophecies. Revelation 13:16 says there will be a mark in the right hand or in the forehead. It says that no man might buy or sell save he that have the mark. And so we see the movement of these things to not only a one world order, but the fulfillment of prophecy. Why would they want a microchip implant? Because the Bible says that no man might buy or sell save he that have the mark. This is the book called Putting People First. In that book, Clinton stated he wanted a national police force separate from the FBI, having 100,000 police officers. He now has over 200,000 under him and Janet Reno. Boot camps for nonviolent first-time offenders. We have many of those across the country. Require all Americans to have a positive identification, a smart card, and then we know about the microchip. Establish a national information network. And because of that, the internet now has problems and the government is taking over the internet. It's interesting what we see. People ask, how did all this get started? We have ancient mystery religions, Kabbalism, Gnosticism, the Knights Templar, the Rosicrucians, Freemasonry, and the Illuminati. We see a formation of a one-world government. And we say, when did this start? If you have a dollar bill, would you can take it out and look at this. On the dollar bill, the dollar bill, this was put on the dollar bill in 1933. There is the pyramid with the all-seeing eye of Osiris. It's a satanic pagan eye. Where we get the word secular from. World without God, ordo, order. Announcing the birth of the new world order. Not only Masons, there are other secret societies. And a Christian cannot belong to a secret society. The oaths that are required in these secret societies go against God. There is an organization called the Council of Foreign Relations. Let's look at the organizational chart. We see men like Schieff, Warburg, Vanderlip, Rockefeller, Baruch, and Morgan. We see that the chairman is the Rothschilds from Germany. They control the Council of Foreign Relations. Even the executive department of the United States government. We see the news media is part of the Council of Foreign Relations. This is an interesting statement I want to show you. I've been in several meetings with Henry Kissinger. I understand less about him than if I'd never been in a meeting. He is a very mysterious man. But he is a mover in the world scene. He reports to the Rothschild organization. He sits at the second seat in the roundtable meetings. He is very much for a one world order. He is a Bilderberger from the Bilderberger organization, the same organization that our president is from. That was very long, but I want you to understand the plans to make a one world order have been in existence for a long time. There are a couple things that I think I can answer ahead of time, though. People ask me, did the babies who received the microchip, did they receive the mark? I believe you have to knowingly say, I want this thing. A baby would not be able to say that. An old person, an Alzheimer's patient, somebody in a nursing home would not have any control. They still have not received it. So they could have it taken back out. I was told last night that there was somebody that might be here tonight who has a microchip in their hand. I have not been able to verify that or talk to that person. This person received it at immigration in coming from Mexico. And so once again, go to the Word of God. Let the Word of God show you what you need to do. And I praise God for every one of you. I thank you for allowing us to come.
program is Issues of Life, and the station is Spirit 88.3 FM. This audio is very, very critical. This is someone who is talking from the Christian point of view and from the engineering and scientific point of view. He knows what he's talking about. He knows his stuff very well. You know, these things are not conspiracy theories. And we've said this over a number of times on this program for all these years. And we are getting closer to the point. It's just a matter of time. We are getting very, very close to these things. And do not be deceived that the church will be away before these things come. We are going to see these things. Thank God the Lord has been giving warnings to the body of Christ, prophetic warnings, dreams. A few weeks ago, we played this lady in the U.S. who was warning. The Lord showed him how pastors will even tell their members that this is not the mark of the beast because the mark will come later. You know, the devil is going to play a lot of games with these things. And for you who have been hearing these things by the grace of God on this program, on this network, never let it go waste. There will be persecution because of this. The fact that you don't have it means you are going to lose your rights. You are going to forfeit some privileges. And that is the difficult part of it because then you have a price to pay, which may even up to death. But ultimately, we should never fall for the fact that these things, deception, things will be told. You can remove it. If you remove it, that's it. It's over. It doesn't matter. The real one will come later. Have you seen any statistics written on it? You know, all these things will come up. And you have leaders who would be on radio and on TV all over the place who would champion the fact that this is not the mark of the beast. The Lord has been showing people these things as well. Pastors will justify that this is not the mark of the beast. So it doesn't matter. You can take it. So do not let these warnings go waste because at the time when these things begin to play out, you will not have these warnings because no radio station will have that authority and power to allow certain things on their airwaves because then it will be a forbidden concept to say anything against it. You'll be the enemy of the state at that moment in time. So these are the times we can hear and we can warn ourselves and remind ourselves of these realities that are soon to come. And, you know, the Lord doesn't do anything without giving advance warnings to his own. There are still genuine prophets in the system. For that, I'm very, very sure and I know of. There are some who are still genuine. And the Lord has been reading. There's this old man, I've been reading his things for some years now, but I also sometimes read from him. And there are some warnings about the mark of the beast the Lord gave him some years back and all. And, you know, we want to just remind ourselves of some of these things. Because you don't know when you not have the opportunity to share these things again. So as and when you have the opportunity to share these things, you have to make good use of it and share it. So, yeah, let's start off from there, and then we'll be discussing it alongside as we go on.
Yeah, we give glory to Jesus. I'll be reading a message given to Raymond Aguilar somewhere 29th May, 1992. This one is a very lengthy one, and that I believe that is the only one I'll be able to read because the Lord has given him a lot of messages concerning the mark of the beast. A lot of messages because the one we'll be reading is prophecy number 69. When you read prophecy number 71, also talks about the mark of the beast, prophecy number 71. And also we have prophecy number 1082, that is 1082. That one also talks about the mark of the beast. Then prophecy number 2133, 2133, they all talk about the mark of the beast. And you know, there is one thing, it was on this program, you know, Braben invited me to be coming to this program. It took me about 6 months because where I'm staying and where the station, I was calculating that. So it took me over 6 months. So whilst I was there, I was listening. And it was during the listening one of the days, Brother Braben mentioned this name, Raymond Aguilera. And immediately he read the prophecy, I heard within my spirit, go and look for that name on the internet. So I went, I googled, I was able to follow to his website, and I heard, go and start reading his prophecies. And since then, I have not stopped. There are some of the prophecies he himself will tell you, listen, I don't understand. I don't know what it means. But this is what this is one thing I like about him. He will get a prophecy, say, please, if you understand, kindly pray about it. Kindly, me also inform me, because I don't know what the Lord is saying. You see, and he has a lot, and the kind of prophecies that man has given and he's still alive. No, it will not take, no. A normal person cannot give those prophecies. Giving prophecies against Barack Obama, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Clinton himself, and all of them. And yes, still, whilst they were in government, and yes, still, he's alive. He's also in the USA. He's not in any other city in the USA. Then you should get to know that really God is using him. We'll be reading prophecy number 69 today. Prophecy number 69. And we will run fast and we get to the part he talked about the mark of the beast. And the Lord repeated it. Do not take it. Do not take it. Do not take it. But before then, I have this divine end time revelation. Divine End Time Revelation, Book 1. Philippa Patricia Crunchy. Philippa Patricia Crunchy. Divine End Time Revelation. This is Book 1. In page 36. You know, God is speaking and warning against this RFID. In page 36. Page 36, the third paragraph. And I read. He said, on the first day of the year 2011, that is 2nd January 2011, the Lord gave me the following words. Thousands and millions are going for the chip. That is RFID chip. Oh, yes. Refrain from it because I am coming soon. Because many of you are suffering in life, they are forgetting my word and collecting the chip. Do not take it. Have you seen the same words the man who invented it said Jesus gave him that? Do not take it. He said, if demons have something to give, how much more your Father in heaven? Repent this present hour. So in 2011, 2nd January 2011, that was a Sunday, Sister Philippa Patricia Crunchy was told that we should not take the mark of the beast. Just confirming what Cassandra said. Now let's go to look at Raymond Aguilera. Raymond Asana will be around 75, 76. That is it. His age. 75, 76. And now let's read this prophecy. Number 69. Prophecy number 69 given to Raymond Aguilera on the 29th of May, 1992. 29 May 1992, fast forwarding it to 2020 means about 28 years, more than 28 years ago, he had this prophecy. God knows everything. There are real prophets in the system. God, 28 years ago, and God was warning us about you. Let's go. He said it was given him at 11:11 a.m. 11:11 a.m. That is Friday. And there is one thing, as I've said, every prophecy of his, he has documented it. All his prophecies has been documented. When you go to his website, that is www.prophecy.org. Prophecy is P-R-O, that is P-H-E-C-Y, prophecy.org. Org is O-R-G, then .IL. So www.prophecy.org.il. But if you have a smartphone and you want to download all his prophecies, as we speak, the last prophecy given to him was number 2400. And all these prophecies, if you want to download them, go to this website on your normal smartphone, go to Google and look for prophecy.org.za/. Prophecy, that's prophecy.org, that is org.za/. When you go there, you will see about three things will come and say download prophecies. It's about 24 megabytes. You can download it and it's a zip form. Then when you extract, you get every prophecy from one up to the last one. You can get it now and put it down because a time is coming. His website, I know they're just going to. He has been having a lot of challenges. Now let's just read the prophecy. He said, I love you. Things are going smooth right now. But remember, there is going to be a time of tribulation, trials, that you really won't be able to understand. But remember, the day is approaching where everything is going to come to a close. The law that was stated in the Bible about the end times is going to be fulfilled as it was stated in the Bible. For the hour and the day is approaching at a very rapid rate. The realization that your world is going to change will confuse many of you. For the idea seems incomprehensible. For you are complacent in your day-to-day activities. You are set in your way of life, but it is all coming to a close. The last big war to be fought will happen in your lifetime. So be prepared. Be strong. Practice the word of God in your everyday living. Practice the rules, the regulations that are stated in the Bible. Look to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Look to the Holy Spirit to guide you. Look to me to listen to your prayers. For the day of the beast is here. The day of this coronation will begin. That is, the coronation of the beast will begin. When the hornet and the beetle clash. I don't know what the beetle and the hornet stand for.
A coded message.
He said, when the hornet and the beetle clash, the outcome of the battle will establish the authority and the power of the beast, which will begin the beginning of the end. Many are going to be confused, for it will happen very fast. The ones who will be saved are the ones who will listen to the prophets and to the just and the righteous, he said, to the just and righteous words of Jesus Christ, Jehovah, and the Holy Spirit. Listen to this again. The ones who will be saved are those who will listen to the prophet, one, and to the just and righteous words of Jesus Christ, Jehovah, and the Holy Spirit. Many of us, though we are listening to words, we are not listening to just words. We are not listening to righteous words. So if we are listening to men and women of God who are not preaching just and righteous word to me and you, then it means we are not going to be saved. Let's continue. For what you will see in the near future is the beginning of the end. The end of the ones that are not Christians and do not believe in my son, that he died for them on the cross. The ones who don't believe, it will be an end for them. But the ones who believe, it is just the beginning of an everlasting peace and joy in heaven forever. I know this sounds like just empty promises, words without authority, but it is the truth. Jehovah says nothing but the truth. So remember that when the end comes, everyone that has ever existed will have to take account of their life, of how they behaved in regard to their God and their brothers and sisters. For nothing was created for evil, but Satan corrupted the seed. Now, the day of judgment is at a point. It is so close to your timetable of life. For some of you will follow Satan to the end, to the place appointed. The ones who blaspheme my name, my son, the Holy Spirit, and the others, the ones who follow my son, that have died, that have been tortured, that have been starved, that have suffered through the years, through sickness, through times of tribulations, from their neighbors, from the government, and from every conceivable source that the enemy, Satan, has dished out to them, those are going to live forever and ever with me, forever and ever. So you see, God is saying all his people have suffered over the generations. Mm-hmm. But a day is coming for all their suffering they are going to enjoy with the Lord. He said, I know the ones who are listening to this little prophecy. The ones who are listening to this prophecy are going to say, there is another knot speaking about end times. But that's okay. We know it's their end. So let them say, let them think anything they want. But you, the ones who are listening and reading and looking for answers to salvation, open the Bible and read it. Learn about your King, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and you will see him. You will talk to him. You will be in heaven forever. Though you feel at times there is no such a place, but take my word for it. Jehovah does not lie. There is a place. It is more wondrous, more beautiful. It's everlasting. Your mind could never conceive such happiness, such goodness, such righteousness. Because you were raised in an evil world. You were brought into sin. How can you judge something you have never experienced? It's beyond your comprehension. For by nature, your body is sinful. And sometimes sinful, it says something sinful cannot comprehend something righteous. So this is where faith comes in. You have to trust in the prophets. You have to trust in the law of God. Jehovah, the Bible. The Holy Spirit will guide you and will show you, but you have to make a commitment on your own. You have to trust in your God. It continues. It says, you will get trials and tribulation, but we are at war. But the war is coming to an end. But if you are one of my sons, the lambs, you have already won. All I want you to do is to tell your other brothers and sisters, the ones that do not know the truth yet, share it, spread the word. For the more and more you strengthen the body of Jesus Christ, the more support you get from each other. The stronger you become, the less pain and suffering you will endure in those times of trouble. So it means the times of trouble is coming. For the last war will affect everyone in ways that you cannot conceive. And the time has begun. So listen to your loving father. You will be getting messages from the prophets. If you get into the Bible and if you really study from your heart, I will talk to you myself. And you won't have to struggle so hard when you hear a prophecy. Because if you are really a good lamb and a good sheep, I must speak directly to you. But I only want those with a clean heart, clean mind, clean attitude. Sometimes it is hard to get into this type of mentality. But once you work on it, get yourself trained. It is not really bad. You are just used to the easy way, the other way, and that leads you into the pit of hell. Don't listen to the ones who entice you to do wrong for heaven. Well, you will have to make my word. You say you have to take my word for it. You have to trust me. That's the first step. I love you. I will protect you. No matter what happens, I am there right next to you. Even though at times you feel that you are alone. You will never be alone as long as you put your focus on Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He will lead you to me through the power of the Holy Spirit. All of us will bring this last chapter in this little planet short little life to a close. He says, so, my children, teach your children to obey and trust you, and teach yourself to obey me and trust me, and we will be one big family. Now the question is, we are not even trusting Jesus. How can we teach our children to obey and trust us? Until me and you, we obey and trust Christ Jesus. We cannot be teaching that to our children because you cannot give what you don't have. He said, bring the body of Christ together. For when there is unity, there is strength. Swallow that pride, that ego. For a child of Christ has no pride and no ego. They are believers of what is right and what was the truth. And they know how to humble themselves before their Lord and their Savior and to each other. Sounds like easy words, but the world is so corrupt. If you don't have pride, if you do not have ego, you feel like you are not a human being. I know human. I love you with all my heart. You will have to trust me. Make yourselves strong and obey the law of Jesus Christ. There will be a day and a time that the beast and the followers will persecute you. Have you heard? There will be a time that the beast and his followers will persecute you, the Antichrist. And now somebody is telling you that we will not be here before the Antichrist comes. This prophecy was given 28 years ago. That there will be a day that the beast, that is the Antichrist, and his followers will persecute you. He said, continue. He will do everything he can to destroy you mentally, physically, spiritually. For the day of the beast is at hand. But remember, all power and glory and praises goes to Jehovah, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Now we're coming to the part you need to listen very well. For the number of the beast will be implemented on the weak, on the sinful. So the mark of the beast is going to be implemented on two people. The weak, weak in faith, not weak in normal strength. Mm-hmm. Weak in faith and belief in God.
Yeah.
And the sinful, sinners. So if you know, if I know, if we know we are weak in faith, we are weak in believing the word of God, and we are sinful, let us repent today. He said, for the number of the beast will be implemented on the weak and the sinful. Do not, I repeat again, do not take the sign of the beast. If we will not be here, why will Jesus Christ be repeating saying, do not take it? When that man who did the chip, he warned us, do not take it. The message given to Sister Philippa, we were told, do not take it. Now in Remo Aguala, we are being told, do not take it. It's repeating again. He said, for if you do, you will not find salvation. I will state it again. Do not take the sign of the beast. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how easy it gets, if you value, and I mean, if you value your future, do not take the sign of the beast, for you will be condemned to the valley of death for eternity. Do you know how it can get easy? Your bishop, your prophet, your archbishop, your founder of your church goes to take it with their wife, with their children, and they come to tell you it is nothing. Come and take it. Let us go to church. It will be easy. You will take it. And it will become hard when you say you won't take it. You have been arrested. They are tormenting you left, right, center. And the Lord said, either it gets hard or it gets easy. Never take the mark of the beast. Never take the microchip which is coming. Now listen, already, this mask we are wearing, the Lord is giving us the red flag, but the church is not seeing. Mm-hmm. The way now that you have to take, put on the mask before going to church is the same way you have to take the chip before going to church. And because they love the numbers in the church, they don't want to leave the auditoriums, the big cathedrals and others they have built. They will go for the mark of the beast and tell you also to take it. He said, do not take it. This is what the Lord is saying. It continues. He said, this is the most blasphemous thing you could do ever to the Lord Jehovah, and I will not forgive you. When the sign of the beast is issued, listen to this, you run and hide. Do whatever you have to do, but do not take the mark of the beast. And this is Matthew chapter 24. Mm-hmm. From verse 15, he said, when you shall see the abomination, see desolation, where prophet Daniel talked about, then he who readers, let him understand, he said, those who are in the bush run to hear those who are. So he said, run to hide. So if the children of Jesus, if at the time of the mark of the beast, time of the Antichrist will not be here, why is Jesus saying run to hide? And this is confirming Matthew chapter 24 from 15 up to 28.
Yeah.
we will be here. He said, do everything. He said, I think I have stated it enough. I think I have made it simple, clear, and direct. I will repeat it one more time. Do not take the sign of the beast, for you will find the valley of death for eternity. So, my children, I hope your ears are unplugged. I hope I place some fear in you. For what I say is the truth. You are going to make, you have to make your, you see, you are going to have to make yourself strong, stronger than you have ever been in your whole life when those days and those times come. For you are going to have to pray to your Father, Jehovah. Read the Bible. Bring the body of Christ together. For this war is being fought in the heavens. And at the same time, the battle is being done on earth. This war, he said, this is the war that encompasses the spiritual and physical. What you can see and touch. Everything that is evil, anywhere, any place, whether spirit or real, will be cleansed once and for all. He says, so take care, be strong, get to know me, because I love you. This is Jehovah. This is Jehovah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. For all that is seen and that is unseen, the maker and the breaker of the universe. Peace and glory be to the Father. Peace and glory be to the Father. Peace and glory be to the Father, so saith Jesus Christ of Nazareth, with the power of the Holy Spirit. For we love you, children. Listen to my Father, for he has nothing but love. And he has given me the power and authority to carry out the law. So remember what he has told you. Peace be unto you, my lambs, my sheep. For I will be there at the appointed time to pick you and to take you to heaven. Be courageous. Be strong. Praise and glory be to the Father. Praise and glory be to the Father. For those on my broadcast list, I recorded this in English as well as in Cree, and I sent it out. So for you, you have it already. This is what Jesus said. Do not take the mark at any cost. Raymond, Radinka.
Yeah, you know, the reality of the fact is that the world is gradually spinning towards the point where this is going to be a necessity. And for those who are who follow technology and understand how some of these technologies work, we've been programmed, and that's what I like the way the man, Carl Sanders, the way he put it. See, there's a cycle programming going on over the period of time. Recently, I saw one cartoon where, in the cartoon, children's cartoon, the mark of the beast was being introduced in it. They didn't call it the mark of the beast, but it's like a chip system, put it in your hand, and you can do this, you can do that. You see, they are not leaving anyone, any stone unturned. The programming has been going on for some time. You know, now we are calling these things IoT, Internet of Things, where everything will be connected in your home or in your environment. So that's why we need faster internet. That's the whole essence of the 5G that is coming up. So it's not that the 5G is not what is causing coronavirus. No, no, no. Forget about that one. But the 5G is going to enable connectivity.
Open up now to Papa.
So you see, so the 5G is meant to connect, these devices, because you need faster connectivity. Because if you have, imagine having Ghana population, 30-something million, as many as will be on it, Nigeria, the whole world. Connectivity should be fast. If you are searching for someone, you should be able to know that this person is here, this person has gone here, this person is hiding here, they've seen him, they've tracked him. Fast data. And that's the whole essence of this whole 5G that they are pushing and all that. See, everything is unfolding gradually and gradually and gradually. For us Christians, it's not our duty to stop it. We can't pray to stop it, no. But
to be prepared,
we should build ourselves psychologically, emotionally, spiritually. We have to know what is coming and know how to prepare. One prayer I pray sometimes, wisdom for the times ahead. One prayer we need. You see, we need a certain type of wisdom to be able to live in the now and even the times ahead. Because if you don't have a certain type of wisdom, you miss it, because when something is so plain and obvious, you will not even understand what you are reading. It's just like now, people read all the news all over, but they can't even link it to what the Bible says. We need the wisdom where we can know what is happening and how we should do things, what to avoid and what not to avoid. God willing, next week we'll be continuing this, because the other files we'll be talking about, I mean, regarding these same warnings, because these are the times to warn ourselves about these things. We can, there's no better time again than now, because, I mean, the time is short in terms of some of the implementations, because, you see, this whole lockdown things happening worldwide, there's an agenda. God willing, tomorrow, next week we'll talk a bit. You see, there's an intentional agenda to keep the world in this state of confusion and in fear and all that.
All of a sudden, then so, breakthrough.
So when things happen, they know. You see, these people, they plan ahead of time. The devil is not a joker. He's been planning this generation, for this generation, thousands of years ahead. He knew an end time generation will come. He knew his time will come. And that's exactly what is happening. Unfortunately, Christians are living as if we, our enemy is some walkover or some pushover. No, no, no. I always refer to this. Someone who can deceive Adam and Eve.
Two people.
Who God visits in the coolness of the day. He could still find space to deceive them. We shouldn't mess with him. We should not mess with him and his tricks and his agents, because he knows the game that he's playing. That's why we need the wisdom of God and to dwell fully in the word of God more than ever before. This is Eben, the program Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. Greetings to many listeners all over the place, outside Accra, outside Kumasi and all that. God willing, next week will be coming your way. Good night and God bless you.